afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today, as she does each and every day. But first, each and every Wednesday. Did I say day? Well, you just love correcting me, don't you? Yeah, you love it.
I don't love it.
I do it intentionally.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
I do it intentionally just to test to see if
see if I'm awake or not.
Most of the time, you're not. But anyway, we did have a nice day, and gold is coming down from its high. 1287 was the high. We're currently at 1281, up $6 for gold today. $1,281, up $6 for gold. Silver back up over 1708. 1708 for silver, up 7 cents. Platinum was up $10 today at 935, and palladium just keeps moving on up. $21, $1,019. The USDX today must be a little weaker, down 0.06 at 94.86. Crude oil was down 43 cents after the incredible run that it has had, $56.77. Paper markets today, you have the Dow up 7 points, 23,563. The NASDAQ was up 21, 6,789. And you have the S&P up 4, 2,595. Well, what's a little point in between friends here? And the 10-year yield, 2.32%, up 0.02%. Euro is still holding at 116, and quiet in the world of markets in Asia and Europe. And so it just seems we're on this nothing can go wrong train, track, road, whatever you want to call it. And but we'll find out after the first segment of the program today, as we have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs joining us. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about this concept that science, when science becomes a corporate crime, I think it's important people start to see, well, layers of the onion, if you will. Now, professionals within the Hall of Medicine, the Halls of Science, the Halls of Justice all know there's a lot of deception that exists within our healthcare system, but they not only allow it, they allow it to grow. So we're going to talk about that, and this is going to be from doctors themselves admitting this. So evidence that you know exposes our science-based medical system being not what it claims to be, all these things are now coming out. And so I want to clarify that a majority of the deception seems to involve science's drug therapy regimen that control your symptoms but don't cure you, and also some medical devices are in the mix there. So you know what a mirage is, right, Al? Right, Melanie? You know what that
is. I do.
Yes.
It's an optical illusion, maybe a fantasy, and in some cases could be deliberate deception. So what investigators have discovered is that scientific medicine has for decades been a well-planned deception that has received assistance from the government and from the courts. So an illustration of this deception occurred actually in 1976, well-publicized but fake swine flu pandemic. So the whole plan to sell the swine flu vaccine to the American public was underway when, unfortunately, Dr. Anthony Morris kind of threw a monkey wrench in it on live TV. Former FDA chief virologist said that it's a hoax. And I'm sure he saved many lives, but he informed the public that there is no swine flu pandemic. There never was one. It's been created to help this pharmaceutical company sell a product rejected by the pig farmers. So Huffington Post says this, November 2011, quackery is defined as the use of unproven treatments claiming fantastic results and charge large sums of money. Modern physicians point their finger at various alternative or natural treatments as examples of quackery. However, it is the conventional medical treatments today that are expensive and offer questionable efficacy with side effects, giving patients the guise of science. I have to agree with that quote. I really do. Well, Al, Melanie, let's take a little financial snapshot of the pharmaceutical industry for a second, because the pharmaceutical industry totals about 20 corporations, makes up about 4% of the Fortune 500 companies globally. Yet 4% of these mega corporations made $95.1 billion in 2013.
Gross or profit?
That would have been profit.
Okay.
So the top 12 pharmaceuticals, made about $17.5 billion in 2010. So you see a big jump there. So the pharmaceutical network entails not just, you know, your manufacturing operations, but also includes your drug wholesalers and your chain of pharmacies worldwide. So the top drug stores that sell the most volume in your prescription drugs are CVS, Walgreens, and Rite Aid. And the pharmaceutical manufacturers are 4 times more profitable than the drugstore chains. Now, the top money-making drug makers are Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Eli Lilly, Abbott, and Bristol-Myers Squibb. And it outspends, by the way, the pharmaceutical industry outspends all other corporations combined, allocating $2.7 billion annually for lobbyists. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah, it tells you that they're buying a lot of congressional legislation.
Well, the second place for spending money on lobbyists goes to the health insurance industry. What does that tell you? Well, you got this unholy three, basically. So our human race is having to deal with this united front of pharmaceutical industry, the American Medical Association, and now your socialized health insurance. So the fact it makes us, the U.S. has got really the most corrupted, expensive healthcare system in existence, and this alliance is positioning people to become patients for life through their managed care that really doesn't prevent or cure anything. So it also puts people at risk when they have fraudulent studies for decades, according to what the researchers are finding. And so the other thing that's really discouraging is advancements in this gene editing and also these zoonotic pathogens that they're taking from animals and infecting us with. So this is kind of a, well, it's an industry you keep your eyeballs on, for sure. And anybody know what the three big cash cows are in modern medicine?
Well, I'd imagine vaccines are one of them.
Nope.
Nope.
Prescriptions?
Nope.
Oh, MRIs.
Well, no, we're talking, I should have clarified, diseases. Big three.
Diseases. I don't know, yes. Cancer,
diabetes,
heart attack, stroke.
Right, absolutely. You got all three of them, cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. So every year with cancer, we're losing 600,000 people every year with the treatments. We're losing, with diabetes, 80,000 Americans, and heart disease, 610,000 Americans. So also, you know, the vaccines is, you know, one of those highly guarded secrets. It's a concept that's, you know, kind of controversial. People, you know, some people think it creates immunity and protection. Others don't. But, you know, obviously these things is, you know, why kill the goose that lays the golden egg is the concept within modern medicine. So drug companies make a lot of money not curing people, is the point.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I have to give it up for India. Do you know what India's doing? India and their Supreme Court are attempting to charge Bill Gates with criminal harm through the vaccines that he pushed onto their women and children there.
Good.
Yeah. Here is a quote from Marcia Angel. She's an MD at Harvard School of Medicine, who says, "Physicians rarely run drug companies. Instead, businessmen run them. And over the past 2 decades, the pharmaceutical industry has moved away from useful drugs. Now it is primarily a marketing machine selling drugs of dubious benefit from an industry using its wealth and power to co-opt every institution that might stand in its way, including the U.S. Congress, the FDA, and academic medical schools." What does that tell you?
It's a racket.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, I hear from people all the time, oh, my doctor wouldn't do that. You know, I would say a majority of Americans, 99% of them think, you know, your doctor wouldn't intentionally harm you. But they've been brainwashed. They're just regurgitating what they learned in medical school, which is, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, basically, who taught them. So kind of a lovely concept, you know, while the medical students are in school, that the school is going to teach them virtues of benevolence, compassion, integrity, respectfulness, honesty, and justice to be valued above monetary influence, power, and self. But what's wrong with that statement, Al?
It's irrational. It is never going to happen this side of redemption or whatever. I mean, people are in it for the money.
Well, the thing is Kate, how old are you when you go to medical school?
22.
Right. So by then, shouldn't you have learned those things?
Yeah, but by the time you get out of medical school, you owe so much money for going to medical school that you need to forget those things in order to make enough money to pay off your college debt.
Well, that's a good point.
These people they've got this big debt chasing them down the road after they get out of medical school. Many of them, not necessarily all of them, but many of them do. And how do you pay off that debt? You have to perhaps compromise some of your youthful
ethics.
Integrity.
Yeah.
Well, I got to make the money. And then I'll be honest. As soon as I get the debt paid off, then I'm going to become an honest man again.
Yeah. Well, okay. But the thing is, you know, doctors are taught by the textbooks that the pharmaceutical industries print and pay for. One virologist said that, you know, he was in practice 35 years before he discovered on his own research that thermosol was actually mercury in vaccines. They're not taught that in school. He says, actually, the drug companies subsidize the medical schools, and they get to pick the curriculum and structure the medical dogma that the students are learning and what they're exposed to. So I guess with enough money, that's how you make your physician a drug pusher. Here is a quote from the University of California Irvine School of Medicine. They say, doctors are heavily exposed to pharmaceutical complaints and companies early on in the context, and they continue to affect the physician's ability to detect industry bias and even analyze drug companies' marketing statements on drugs objectively. They go on to say the pharmaceutical industry influences can harm the social and moral character of our medical students. But the thing is all these medical schools have these policies where they're not, the drug companies aren't supposed to come in and influence the students, but they don't abide by their own policy. That's one of the big problems. So a lot of the American public don't know how or have a clue that by the time they step foot on campus, these students are hounded by big pharmaceutical scouts. They are fine dined, they're given gifts, and they're given the notion that there's more from where this came from if you play ball. So what this is a method of recruiting this new legion of physicians to be loyal to the pharmaceutical establishment. Mm-hmm. So they get them early in their careers before they can even officially treat a patient. So they're seduced, and they think this payoff isn't going to hurt anyone. So, and this is also the reason why doctors don't turn other doctors in. You know, so this is your cozy little collective that's pretty much held together by greed. Isn't that terrible?
Yes, it is, and it's unfortunate. I don't know what to do about it. Well, what do you know of what? What can we do about it? I mean, this is human nature.
Yeah. Well,
it's more money, more money,
well,
more money.
And, you know, it's like these women that were, you know, being sexually harassed by the big machine. They called Hollywood the big machine. You know, how do you fight the big machine? You know, so it's sort of like the same concept, you know, power and money and influence. It's almost like, you know, Trump trying to drain the swamp, right? What it's about.
Problem is, you're going to drain the swamp. Where are you going to put all that? Where are you going to put all that water? Still got to go someplace. You can't just make it disappear.
Well, let me ask you this, Al, Melody. How much do you suppose the pharmaceutical industry spends on each physician annually?
How much do they spend?
Yeah, doctors that are already through medical school. You know, they keep in touch with their legion of recruitments. How much do you think they spend on them every year?
$200,000
Okay.
Plus, I would guess maybe $10,000 per. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, this is outside any perks they get for writing prescriptions of name brands. This is just their standard fund that they spend on doctors to keep in touch. You know, they take them to dinner or they send them on a cruise. They spend an average of $8,000 a year on a physician. So this is their direct marketing effort. And they tell them, you know, here, you need to prescribe the latest drugs. And it's really not an obvious relationship to the public. But this relationship begins long before physicians even have a prescription pad to write on. University of California Irvine School of Medicine says resident physicians report, on average, 6 pharmaceutical gifts annually, 70 industry-sponsored lunches, 75 promotional items per year, and hospital-sponsored classes taught by the drug company representatives. So, and then, and physicians also meet with drug reps four times per month. So it's a constant barrage that they're under. You know?
I understand. It's like conditioning for Pavlov's dogs.
But then when you add all the kickbacks from the medications, from the prescriptions, from the CAT scans, from the MRIs,
it adds up. They double their income when they do that.
Yeah.
So, well, here's in 2003, Pfizer lost a lawsuit. They had to pay $2.3 billion in criminal civil charges, but they made $54 billion that year, so they didn't care. And what it was is they were getting doctors to prescribe drugs for off-use. So what that means is drugs that were approved by the FDA but not for that particular use or not for that particular patient. So in 2007, there was this study of 350,000 children at the hospital. They found that 78.7% of them were being prescribed off-label use drugs the FDA had not approved for use in children.
Well, they discovered it, and what did they do about it?
Well, that was the Huffington Post reporting on that case. Pfizer had to pay $2.3 billion in civil and criminal damages. That was it. But they're still back in business. You know, it's just a slap on the wrist to them because they made $54 billion that year. So, but I'm just letting people know that doctors are being told by the drug companies, which are their bosses, to prescribe that for whoever, even though the FDA hasn't approved it for that use. And they do it. By almost 80% of the time.
Well, you know what they say, the one who's got the gold makes the rules, and these kind of corporations have that, they have the money.
Well, here's what the American...
They're going along with it.
Well, the American College of Physicians says if patients begin to view physicians as being tainted by industry influence, then the public's entire faith in the medical system could be eroded.
I agree.
I think it's already happened, actually.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree. I think we'll see more and more people buying products from you, for example, just trying to prevent disease rather than rely on being cured after the fact by doctors. See more and more people going to websites that diagnose problems.
Yeah.
Well, give us a little contact information if people
Absolutely.
Want more, if they'd like to know more, would like to help buy your products. Where do they
come? Sure. Well, we're having our Veterans Day special, and it runs through Sunday. It's 15% off and free ground ship on orders of $60 or more. Call toll-free at 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wendy, thank you. That's Wendy Wilson at thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We're going to take a break. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Anytime, Al.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. She runs a tight ship from time to time and has to remind me, oh, it's time to talk. This is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. The reason I'm distracted is Melody said I was my sound was crackling, and I was looking for whatever it was that might be causing that, and kind of distracted me. But in any case, I'm back now. Is it still crackling?
Yes, your snap, crackle, and popping. You betcha. Uh-huh. So we'll just try and reconnect at the next break. So fingers crossed it doesn't get any worse. But so let's go ahead, and I'm going to continue the special yesterday, $550 for a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 Silver Eagles, and those are dated 2017s, and these are priced on yesterday's gold and silver pricing. So gold's up, silver's up, and you're getting yesterday's prices. So another good deal from Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you give us a call and visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to our archives, and you can listen live right from the website. So we're hopefully looking before Thanksgiving for our website to be the redesign. They're working on it now, and I keep bugging them. It's got to get done. So hopefully we can announce the
completion
of it, and
the grand opening.
They sign up for newsletters, and I'm actually going to be blogging. The blog has been set up for years, but and we get to hear from the people who visit from the website, and I think that's important too. Listeners, maybe we'll be chatting during the radio programs, and something we had mentioned last week, and we failed to do so already, and it's Wednesday, is to give out our call-in number, 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. If you'd like to call in and make a comment on the topic in which we are discussing, and we appreciate to hear your input. 844-769-2944. I'm going to give that number out three or four times right now, because we always seem to forget throughout the program to repeat that. So I'm doing it all at once. It's going to get done all at once. So make sure you have your pencils out and write down 844-769-2944.
That's too fast.
Alfred,
can't expect people to write that fast. You have to do.
I said it eight times.
844-769-2944. That's just It's just good communications, Melody. You got to slow it down.
Well, I think after five times, they should have had it completed. Mm-hmm. So, what's next on the agenda, Al?
I don't know. I've got an article here from Donna from ZeroHedge.com, and you may have seen something along these. I have three articles that actually deal with kind of the same quest, the same problem. The headline from ZeroHedge.com is Donna Brazil says she feared for her life after Seth Rich was killed. Seth Rich was he worked for the Democratic National Committee, and he allegedly released a large number of Democratic National Committee email and documents to WikiLeaks, and subsequently he was killed. In what the police in Washington, D.C. said it was an attempted robbery, but nothing was taken. Nobody took the money out of his wallet, no one took his wristwatch, no one took anything, they just shot him. There were other people in conspiracy theories think the reason he was shot is because he was implicated in the release of, I don't know, thousands of Democratic National Committee email to WikiLeaks. Now, here's the article, and there's a point to this. Perhaps the most shocking revelation contained in the excerpts from former DNC chairwoman Donna Brazil's book, came out in the last 2 weeks, was buried in the Washington Post overview of various allegations. In the aftermath of WikiLeaks' decision to publish a cache of emails stolen from the DNC's servers, Donna Brazil says she became increasingly paranoid about both possible Russian efforts to sway the election, and the sentence is incomplete, and she's also concerned about the death of Seth Richards. After Seth Rich, kind of like Goodrich, only Seth Rich. Any case, she said she became increasingly paranoid, and she says top Democrats initially instructed her not to discuss her concern with others. Now, this is interesting. She's concerned maybe somebody from the Russians might have whacked Seth Rich. Apparently, or maybe somebody from the Democratic Party itself, and when she voices her concern to top Democrats, they tell her to just don't bother, don't talk about it to other people. Now, one of the things that's interesting to me is she is chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. Who are the top Democrats who told her to keep her mouth shut? You would think she is the top Democrat. But apparently she's taking instructions from people that are above her who are at least unnamed in this report. But even more than the Russians, Brazil says she feared possible retribution from shadowy elements within the campaign and the Democratic Party who might blame her for the leak. She's concerned about fellow Democrats. You understand that? She is in fear for her life, because she's afraid of other people in the Democratic Party. Her fear is only intensified, she said, after the mysterious shooting of former campaign staffer Seth Rich, who authorities said was killed during the robbery, though many so-called conspiracy theorists have speculated about a possible Democratic plot to kill Rich for his role in leaking the stash of DNC emails to WikiLeaks. Brazil's anxiety eventually spiraled out of control to a point where she feared for her own life while serving as interim chairwoman for the Democratic National Committee. Brazil writes that she was haunted by the still unsolved murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich, and feared for her own life, shutting the blinds to her office windows so snipers could not see her, and installing surveillance cameras at her own home. Now, the reason this is interesting to me and fascinating is that there are people, like myself, for example, that are what you can call dissidents, right? And people expect us to be promoting conspiracy theories, and they expect us to be paranoid and one thing or another like that. Here is a woman who was acting as the chairwoman for the Democratic National Committee. All right? And she is afraid she's going to get whacked by fellow Democrats and snipers and maybe the Russians. And she's putting up surveillance systems around her house and closing the drapes and the windows and whatever, the blinds at the windows where she works to keep the snipers from shooting her. People like me are supposed to be the conspiracy nuts. What do we make of it when we see someone from the DNC who is afraid they're going to get killed on their own job? Now, it's not just a single report. Here's another one from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know report. And the headline is, EPA chief needs 24-hour security after shutting down inefficient and corrupt programs. That's the Environmental Protection Agency. Scott Pruitt, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, sued that federal agency 14 times when he was Attorney General of Oklahoma. He was Attorney General of Oklahoma. He sued the EPA 14 times, and then he wound up being appointed to run the EPA. All right? He's not one of their just puppets. All right, this guy has made, he's made his bones. He's trying to do the right thing. He is currently being guarded round the clock because of threats on his life. Threats on his life. Here's the head of the EPA getting threats on his life. Donna Brazile, head of the Democratic National Committee, getting threats on, or feeling that her life is threatened. All right, since taking over the EPA, we're talking about Scott Pruitt now. He says since taking over this EPA, he has saved an estimated $30 billion by cutting waste and fraud. Fraud is a crime. If he's cut $30 billion in waste and fraud, he has taken money out of the pockets of criminals who are taking advantage of the government to get rich. And it is presumed that because he has deprived them of their $30 billion, some of them have decided it'd be a good idea to kill him. Here's an example of what he's done at the EPA. It says he replaced EPA advisory panels with independent experts instead of people who depend on the EPA for grant money. The people here, they had advisory panels telling what to do about the environment, and the people who staffed these panels were people who got grant money from the EPA, and of course they work together to promote their grant money more so than take care of the environment. He changed that by installing independent experts instead of people who are on the take from the EPA and therefore beholden to the EPA. Pruitt rescinded the EPA's regulations called Waters of the United States that were merely a scheme for federal zoning and confiscation of private land. Here we have a good guy. All right? This is an aberration. Somebody got into a position of power in the government who's trying to do the right thing, and his life is being threatened. Now we got Donna Brazile. She thinks her life was in danger. This guy at the EPA, his life, he's getting death threats. And then here we come with G. Edward Griffin's report, again, on bombshells from JFK documents exposed corruption in U.S. deep state. Those JFK assassination documents that were recently made public contain confirmation of many facts that up until now have been derided as conspiracy theories. Here are just a few of them. A document from former FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover said that the public must be made to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. The FBI is supposed to investigate. They're supposed to find out, was there one gunman, were there two, were there 20? They're supposed to look into it. And here we have the head of the FBI saying, we're not going to investigate. We're going to make sure the people believe there was only one gunman. Here's another one. The Soviet Union concluded that the assassination was a coup d'etat by John F. Kennedy, of course, political opponents, with Lyndon Johnson at the center of the plot. Here's another one. Lee Harvey Oswald and his killer, Jack Ruby, had a meeting in Cuba weeks before the Kennedy assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald knew Jack Ruby before he was shot by Jack Ruby. Another one, Surgeon General said there was more than one shooter. These are from documents they've been holding back at the CIA for 50 years. All right? Then they're still holding some of them they still haven't released. This is evidence of crime that has not been prosecuted. The CIA is complicit, not only in some of these allegations. They may even be defendants in these allegations. They are supposed to be protecting this country from this kind of I don't know, criminal activity, and in fact they may be perpetrating. Oswald was trained by the CIA, another document from this pile of that's been recently released. Mainstream media employed over 40 CIA agents posing as journalists to spread deep state propaganda. This is in the 1960s. Right now we think it's news that, oh my gosh, the government is using the media to teach us things that aren't true, to subject us to propaganda rather than news. Oh my gosh, it's news. No, it's not. It's been going on for 40, 50, 60 years. All right? We're just beginning to see evidence of it. Mainstream media, I just read that one. The fact that so much information is still being withheld today indicates that those institutions that lied to the American people 50 years ago are still in power. There's a good and powerful point. What's the point to all of this? The point to the story about Donna Brazile, the point to the story about Greg Pruitt at the EPA, the point to the story about the release of documents involved in the Kennedy assassination. It's all pointing to the, it's evidence after evidence after evidence that our government is a criminal enterprise. And it sounds, and saying so is a lot of people, oh, that's radical talk. But look, look, the people who work there are threatened, their lives are threatened. They think they Donna Brazile, she's fearful that she was afraid she was going to get shot. Greg Pruitt, he thinks he's getting death threats. And those are the two I know about, and there's probably 50 or 75 more. I'm not saying that everyone in government is corrupt, but I am saying that there are a lot of people that are corrupt. They're in positions of significant power, and no one within government is blowing the whistle on them. No one's exposing them. The best people we send up to Washington are just saying, well, I'm not doing anything criminal myself. I'm not reporting the crimes I see, of course, but I'm not committing any crimes. I'm one of the good guys. It's not good enough. On the other hand, we are beginning to see this evidence emerge. We're beginning to see that people are saying, oh my gosh, what's happening with the information from John F. Kennedy assassination 50 years ago? What's happening at the EPA? What's happening to the Democratic National Committee? These questions are going to begin to build in the body politic, and people are going to be able to say increasingly that these concerns are real. They are not mere conspiracy theories fabricated by some people who have their tinfoil hats on too tight. There's evidence. There's evidence to support a lot of these conspiracy theories, and the conspiracy theories may be more accurate and more meaningful than the people who stand up and say, oh, that's just a crazy conspiracy theory. You don't have to worry about it. And as more and more people see this, maybe we're going to see a house cleaning in this country. You know, we've got a problem with Manafort being investigated by the special prosecutor. But soon there's going to be an investigation of Hillary Clinton, too. Before we're done, once you start these investigations, no telling where they're going to stop. We may see a real shakeout in this government. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we did? Maybe we could restore some measure of integrity, honor, you know, justice, confidence. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials.
Really?
And we'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Thank you. Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And I think we have a caller, Melody. Is that true?
Yes, we do. We have Mike calling from California. Welcome to the program, Mike. I think we have Mike. Is he still with us?
Yes, I am. Can you?
Well, we can. I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Now yes.
All right. Sorry about
Go
that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Great that you guys are doing call-ins. I've wanted that for years. Speaking on the Kennedy subject, just the question that's there about what is it this far after what took place that would, threaten national security? Is that existing protocols that are still being used by, some of the current departments?
And, I think one of the things
for
that's
the American people to know what's at work, so they can. We need to restructure some of these things.
When they say national security, they mean government security. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have to protect national security. No, nobody is protecting me right now, and nobody's protecting you or your state or your nation. They are trying to protect the government. And when they say we have to keep a lid on these documents because they threaten national security, they threaten getting the truth out to the public where they can see that this thing's been a racket for over half a century. A heavy racket, right. A serious racket, a criminal enterprise. They can't, that's bad for business. It threatens government security is what it threatens. It doesn't threaten really national security. But it, legitimately, yeah. It's like having bank robbers. If we were all bank robbers and one of us threatened to tell the cops, we could say that threatens national security, but it really threatens gang security, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, I'm not so sure if – I just want to say this, Al. I'm not so sure if you would define this as national security, though. If it was – if the truth got out to, let's say – maybe LBJ, and I'm just speculating here, was actually involved in proof and so forth. I mean, it's so many years ago, but doesn't that have some impact as far as perhaps the confidence in our government structure, or are things just so corrupt
That's
anymore?
My point.
It doesn't really, but it does affect our finances. It affects the petrodollar. It affects our reserve currency. It affects the
indirectly.
Confidence. Well, it's still, would you consider
I agree,
would you
I agree
consider
with what
our
you're
economy
saying.
A national security?
I agree with what you're saying, but I would venture that the people in government are more interested in saving their own necks than they are in saving fiat dollar. All right, there's an incidental impact on the economy and the dollar and the rest of it, but there's a bunch of people that don't want to go to jail. Okay. One of the big questions here, if you want to attack a government credibility, is why have they been sitting on evidence of crimes for 50 years?
If I could just
you
say
can't
one last
look
thing.
At that and say these guys are working for our best interest.
What'd you say, Mike?
And I said, yeah, one last thing. You know, when Bob used to co-host the show with you, he talked specifically about that being a concerted effort and for the sake of there not being a mistriangulation of snipers there and, you know, details about who that actually involved. This is important. I hope that you know, in some way, somehow, some of the details of that is breaks forth, because in the critical thinking of this generation, it needs to be something that people are thinking about. If the government and is capable of doing that, then the thinkers of this generation that would be the leaders that would return to some semblance of constitutional foundation. I think that's a good case point for them to go, what took place here and how is it that we're going to lawfully, civically move towards preserving some semblance of the republic, you know, restore constitutional Congress. I don't know if you're aware of AmericaAgain.net, but David Zuniga and company has a plan to bring Congress home out of D.C. to expand the district of representation to the current population of the public and say, hey, a Trump or whoever is not going to do this alone. It's going to be perhaps one half of 1% of the Americans that actually lawfully want to act while there's still time to act and preserving the constitutional republic.
No, I agree. Thanks. I've met David Zuniga a time or two, but it's been 5 years, I bet, or more. He's down in Austin or San Antonio, isn't that true?
I guess we lost Mike. So, yeah, well, he was working.
Hi,
I believe
Thanks
he was. I believe he was working also with Rob West. So, I think that's Rob West brought us the American Again information. That goes. It's a fairly new, I believe, organization. But I could.
Well,
be wrong,
I know they were trying to set it up. I think they've been working at. He and his brother were working at something maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I was aware of him. I met him at that point. And Houston, I think San Antonio, Austin, someplace down there in south of southern part of Texas. And maybe they've moved since then. I don't know. But there's, you know, there's other people that are working on this. And we are beginning to gain, more than anything else, credibility. When some of this evidence comes out on the Kennedy assassination, for example, all of a sudden we find out, wait a second, the people that have been concerned about this are not just a bunch of crackpots and crazies. They really do. There is evidence showing, wait, this is real. And insofar as that evidence is there, then we are free to ask, well, what the heck have the people at the FBI and the CIA been doing in the last 50 years? Why did they allow these crimes to continue? And the answer is they have to be their accomplices at least after the fact, if not accomplices in fact during the commission of the crimes. Something's got to be done, and I don't think it'll be solved with just a little investigation by the House of Representatives or the Senate. Something significant has to be done. Somebody's got to have more than a wrist slap or a public reprimand or a letter in their file that says they've been, you know, they haven't done as good as they might have. Something's got to be done. Some heads have to roll here, and we'll watch and see if they do or they don't, but at least they could. Evidence is mounting. Maybe. Who knows? I know, you know, I'm not going to bet it's going to happen. But the evidence is mounting, and it's propagating over the internet, and a lot of people are going to know, and a lot of people are going to stand up and yell for it. And who knows? Maybe something will happen. At nothing else, even if we don't put the people who are currently, who are responsible, the people in the institutions, maybe they get away with it. They murdered Kennedy, and they're going to beat the ram. Okay. But if the public generates enough concern, if they, over the internet, whatever, the word gets out, people stand up and they scream and shout, it means that people in positions of power will be less likely to commit similar crimes in the future. They're going to be concerned that, oh my God, they're going to find out and they're going to come after us. The internet will expose. Somebody's going to grab our email, and next thing you know, we're going to be in big trouble. Perhaps just exposing the problems they've had with the Kennedy assassination, that might be enough to prevent them from doing something similar in the future. No.
And, you know, they say this Donna Brazile, you know, she's setting herself up to, you know, sort of be the savior of the Democrat Party. You know, the Democrats are sort of celebrating their elections last night. And, they not so sure. I don't think people would turn that quick. I don't think the Democrat Party can clean themselves up so quickly after the problems that they've had. But I think the Democrat Party is trying to distance themselves now from Clinton, maybe even Obama, in all those problems. Maybe not so sure Obama, but at least Clinton and, you know, Schultz and Debbie Schultz are...
And we've had the Republicans try to distance themselves from George W. Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been off painting by the numbers someplace, but he's been pretty low profile. Not much. We haven't seen him appear on a lot of shows. He's been on a few. He's come on lately.
Presidents, after they leave office, do take a low profile. I mean, Obama's the only one that's actually living in D.C. anymore, and you know he's doing a lot of, you know, things behind the scenes, and Lord knows what he's doing, but he's the only one that's ever, I believe, that has retired to D.C. and staying politically active afterwards. Most of your presidents retire fairly.
Yeah, but like Ronald Reagan, he may have been retired, but he was still popular, he was well-liked, and he did appear from time to time.
Yeah, but I mean,
he didn't disappear. Some of these people are just, oh my gosh. I mean, their own party is, don't come by my house. I don't want to be associated with you because it's bad for my, you know, it's bad for my reelection prospects. So
Carter's the only one that actually kept working at something. Everybody else
I agree
just
with
retires.
That.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carter was one of the few that did anything. I mean, Bill Clinton, he was out there hustling. He's still out there hustling to make a buck. But nobody really thinks of him as a good guy. He may be an interesting guy, a charismatic guy to some extent, but nobody really thinks, here comes our savior. No, here comes our hustler. Here comes the hustler du jour. You know, and that's Clinton. And insofar, if you sit down and you think about the presidents we've had, and when was the last time we had one you really liked, you know, there's differences of opinion. But general agreement, I'd bet that half the people or more dislike virtually every president we've had since Reagan. I'll bet it's 50, 60%. You ask them, did you...
All right, it seems like we're back. Our producer lost us, so we are live now, so I appreciate the patience. So a lot of strange things are happening with computers lately. We had problems with our earlier show today, too, but we're back now, and I think Al was finished. I think we only lost a couple of seconds, so.
Well, I don't know how much we lost, but we were just talking
finishing
about
up.
Problems we have with presidents and trying to remember how many presidents have we had that we liked in your lifetime and mine? I remember Reagan, which is not to say he was anything like perfect and the rest of that, but nevertheless, he was popular and well-liked. Since then, which of the presidents do we really like? Which ones do we say, oh, come on down, let's call President Bush or Bush Jr. or Clinton or Ford or who knows? You know, how many presidents do you want in your neighborhood? It's our disapproval, our general disapproval of our presidents is evidence that either the people are are mistaken, we are making serious mistakes, or we understand that government has become a racket and we are tending to turn our backs on it. Melody mentioned we're having problems with computers. Here's something, we talk about this kind of thing from time to time. This is from TechCrunch, and it says a major vulnerability has frozen hundreds of millions of dollars of Ethereum. Today is not a good news day for Ethereum. A vulnerability found within a popular wallet has frozen potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of cryptocurrency in a second setback in recent months. It's a kicker because this is the second time in just a few months that a major parity bug has been unearthed with potentially costly repercussions for Ethereum, which is the world's second highest valued cryptocurrency with a total market cap of $27 billion. Now, they're gone and they try to explain what happened, and I won't try to repeat it. I don't understand it. I'm not a technician, but I understand hundreds of millions of dollars. There's a bug in the Ethereum program, or at least one of the wallet programs that's associated with Ethereum, and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Ethereum has been frozen. People can't get at their currency. Now, I don't know what's going to come of this, but hundreds of millions of dollars. This is the same sort of thing we see with reports of hundreds of millions of files with people's names and address and their social security number and date of birth and so on. Those disappear from time to time. And the lesson in this is that I think we're coming to a time when people are going to become increasingly critical of storing anything of value on the internet. It's a great communication device if you want to share things. Internet is great. Want to keep secrets? You stay off the internet. And this not only goes for information; it goes for currency. Here's the deal: some people lost hundreds of millions of dollars. They can't get at their money. They could if they had it in gold and they were keeping it somewhere close at hand. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my